Welcome to the Firm Report.
Hi, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the Firm Report. Today, it's quite an honor. We have Chadwick Mance with the Mance Law Firm from Savannah, Georgia.
Yes, sir. Nice to see you again, friend.
I appreciate
that. Yes, sir.
So I know that you are one of the true trial attorneys that, you know, essentially you represent your people and you'll take a case to where it needs to go.
We don't shy away from that, that's for sure.
That's
the people will have to judge who's true and who's not.
Well, it's definitely quite a skill, and I'd say there's probably a lot of strategy and tactics that go into it.
Chess, not checkers, is what a good friend told me.
Chess, not checkers.
Chess, not checkers.
Hey, I've played a bit of chess myself, so.
All right.
I have a lot of respect for the game.
Okay.
How about yourself?
I do, too.
Do you?
Opening, middle, and closing game.
Have you ever hit a four-move checkmate on a case?
I have not. I have not. But I hope to.
All right.
I think I got one in the books that I could do in about four moves or so.
All right. That's
I don't like
awesome.
To do four moves. I like to do one move.
Though. One move?
All four right. moves is too many.
So it's a little more advanced than chess.
A little more advanced.
So when it comes to, you know, the strategy that goes into a case and essentially taking it to trial.
Yeah.
Right. Where does it start for you?
From the very beginning. Uh-huh. I mean, you hear lawyers say that, but it is absolutely unequivocally true. For example, when you interview a client that is likely a real plaintiff in a trial,
uh-huh.
and if your mindset is, I am going to try this case, that intake interview is far more extensive. You're assessing the credibility of the person. The veracity of the person. You're assessing their ability to recall key information and details. Most importantly, you're assessing what you have to follow up on. So if there's a document referenced by implication, where do we need to send a document request? If there's a person that's referenced vaguely, how do we follow up with a question? In fact, you may have three interviews instead of one interview at an hour apiece, for example. Mm-hmm. So the mentality is fundamentally different. It's more detail-oriented. And it's with an eye towards the end goal, which is a jury verdict, which is tied inexorably to the plaintiff.
So when it comes to intake, it sounds like there's a lot of initial strategy and time that's invested there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you elaborate a bit on that?
So remember the adage, garbage in, garbage out? That is apt when it comes to trial and trial lawyers. What we think of is I can collect cases a lot of times in our industry.
Uh-huh.
But I think the guys that really get the art of preparing a case for trial are not case collectors. In fact, you see that inverse kind of relationship, that is, less cases, higher result. And, of course, you've got more variance in terms of cash flow and up and downs with cash flow and so forth. But the idea is that we are surgeons. We are not, for example, bearers of a machine gun shooting bullets everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a meticulous, tailored approach to every case.
So you're not it's not a shotgun approach.
No, we're snipers.
You're snipers.
That might be more of an apt analogy.
Yeah, we're
snipers.
You're precise in your moves strategically. It
Absolutely.
Starts from the intake
Absolutely.
Forward.
Absolutely.
And I would assume with your perseverance and ability to do what you do, I assume you get a number of referrals or, you know, you're respected amongst your peers.
Well, my peers will have to tell you that, right? I like to think so.
But I've spoken to a few of them, and my understanding is that you are a practitioner, you are a master practitioner from a lot of respects when it comes to the art.
We do a good bit. We talk about this across the nation. We bring high-stakes cases. We talk about it at the community level. You know, I've taught it at college level, for example, at a very young age, 27. So we've done it. But my clients are the real judges of that. And so,
well, you know, there's a lot to be said for respect amongst your peers. And definitely, so you've taught it. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I was asked to come back to my alma mater to teach business law from a plaintiff's attorney's perspective. I could create my own course. I would have been the youngest professor on campus at Morehouse College at that time, but not the one, the youngest in history. The youngest in history would have been Dr. King, who taught at 26. I was 27. So for a semester, I was like a visiting adjunct. They could just teach a plaintiff's course, that's, you know? So that was kind of cool. So we taught shareholder litigation. We taught regular slip and fall stuff. But the idea is, if you're a business person, how do we assess risk from the litigant's perspective that's going to be attacking us? And what obligations do we have to our shareholders and our stakeholders in our community?
So obligations to the community, to stakeholders in the community, it's deep. I mean, you
absolutely.
You're looking at cases from a whole nother perspective than as a marketer. You know, we hear a lot. We want leads. We want cases. We need, you know, we need to hit these numbers.
Yeah.
But I, you know, your angle is an entirely different. It's a different playing field, it seems.
It's still the same, you know. What we don't measure, we can't assess, and what we don't assess, we can't fix, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, you mentioned KPIs, metrics. You know, those are the blood pressures of our businesses, right?
Yeah.
They're the things that we look at to determine the biometrics of how our organization is functioning, living, whether it's healthy or not. And so we still have those things. But we just have those things applied in a different way.
Huh. That's pretty deep. It's definitely, when you talk about, I would say, like, community impact and the cases and the implications beyond, when you take your cases and you take them to trial and, you know, to settlement, your cases are structured to, it seems, to make an impact. The end result is going to impact how things essentially go forward.
Absolutely. I mean, we, you know, the grandiose ideal of the trial lawyer is that we can take a case and change a culture, right? Not every case is going to result in a colossal change in culture.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we have a small ripple in the sea of time that is the life of your client that you help, right?
Yeah.
And maybe to you it's a, you know, $50,000, however much the money is, settlement, mm-hmm. a smaller resolution. But to that client, it could have been something that would have been life-changing or life-preserving, right?
Yeah.
And so we can make small ripples of change, but the idea is we make the biggest tidal wave of change that we can cultivate under the existing circumstances. And everybody has a case that can change culture. Everybody mm-hmm. has a case. The question is, do you have the commensurate courage to change the culture? Trial lawyers put their reputations on the line, their finances on the line, their minds and their skills on the line, mm-hmm. their time and their health on the line to be able to actuate this ambition of a case, because mm-hmm. it's an ideal, basically, until somebody acknowledges it's capable of resolution of some kind.
Yeah.
Until it becomes ripe for some kind of resolution, whether that's a jury verdict that is positive or a settlement that is positive. But remember, it could all go bust. And so I say the closest thing to a superhero is the American trial lawyer. But you've got to put yourself on the line, and that's why. If you're not putting yourself on the line within your ethics, within the law, and within your own personal value system, You're not representing the ideal of a trial lawyer.
So you're making a cultural impact with some of the cases Absolutely. You're handling.
Absolutely.
Where you're basically, and I love the analogy with, you know, the ripples, whether right. it be a small ripple or a tidal wave of an impact.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, when you go to the ocean or a lake, you go to a still lake and you just, throw, you know, I tell my kids sometimes, you know, just throw a rock in and just yeah. you see the yeah. ripple effect and the impact yeah. of how the motion and time is created.
Absolutely, man. Only all it takes is a pebble. And remember the story of David? David had a little stone and he slayed this behemoth of an entity, Goliath, right?
Yeah.
And so trial lawyers are the same, man. that jury trial system, it might be a small case. I had a friend. He brought a case that was a fender bender by any definition. And I believe it resulted in a verdict against the plaintiff. But he had the courage to appeal it. And when he appealed it, he ended up changing the civil jury instruction. It will literally affect every single case in Georgia.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, a case that conceivably had no value has systemic value, right?
Uh-huh.
And so you have no way of anticipating what is coming in when a client knocks on your door. And so you got to work on that case to the best of your ability.
That's impressive. So to go back to your days at, I would say, Morehouse College as a professor or a visiting professor. I coach my kids sports, and cool. I also...
What do you coach, soccer?
Baseball in particular. Okay. And
play shortstop?
Flag football. My son, he plays a wide variety of positions.
Cool.
He likes second base as his favorite. But I always find it amazing as to what you learn
from sports,
from teaching kids and having that impact. And, I have to ask you, having the honor of teaching at such a respected institution, is there something that you learned from having that honor and having those students? Like, is there a takeaway that you had from hearing their perspectives, even their questions to you?
The teacher-pupil relationship is a two-way street. So the best teachers realize that they're learning simultaneously. It's a bit of a paradox. Sometimes the student becomes the teacher, and the teacher becomes the student. And that process can occur simultaneously. It can alternate in the exchange. And so, I think if we're humble enough to submit ourselves to a power greater than us, a learning process greater than us, an institution greater than us, we always end up better. That's another thing that Morehouse College taught me. I went to undergrad there as well, so it totally transformed my life and how I look at things as a trial lawyer.
That's amazing. That's definitely, I would say, that stage in our life where we do go to, post-secondary, when you go to college, it makes a huge impact on your life. The experiences from the personal experiences to the educational experiences and that respective, so I do have to ask you, as a student, were there specific professors that left an impact on you?
Man, there were a ton. There were a ton. Tobe Johnson. I could name them. I won't call them out. Some of them are dead. That guy's dead. My law professors left an impact on me. Ronald Carlson, who helped envision the application of evidence in Georgia across disciplines and taught state court judges, federal judges, how to apply the rules. Many, many, many folks, man.
Yeah.
So you are the compilation of those who poured into you, right?
Definitely.
And so the same high standards that those folks had of me are the high standards that I try to have of the lawyers that work for our firm and of the people that I am involved with developing in some.
That's awesome. And I love to hear about lawyers that have, I would say, a dedication to making an impact. There's a true why why you're practicing. And it's almost case by case. It starts with the intake.
Absolutely.
As you had said.
Every case is a person, man. Every case is a person. It really is. You could take two car wreck cases with the same facts but different people at the same place, and they would totally be different.
Really? So every case is a person.
Every case is a person.
Has a story, I assume.
For some cases, types of cases, mass production makes sense. For others, a very surgical approach makes sense. For example, with a complex medical diagnosis, you're not going to want to go to a doctor with a volume-based approach. Right?
Yeah.
So we take that approach with complex cases. Mm-hmm. And we're going to – every – I mean, something as simple as who the defense lawyer is could change the dynamic of the case.
Oh, definitely.
Who the judge is could change the dynamic of the case. I mean, we're planning every single intricacy in that case we look at. That we, every advantage we can take within our the law, within our ethics, and within our values, we examine it, and we move.
There's a lot of research and diligence that...
Yeah, man. You know, Tom Girardi, who is not as active, not active at all anymore, one of the great trial lawyers from L.A., used to say, yeah, you know, they used to say, Tom, you make a lot of money in plaintiff's practice. And I would respond, is what he'd say, with, yeah, but it's minimum wage. You know, when you average hours out, it's minimum wage. To get the big money, you have to put in big time. And that big paradox is the trial lawyer is always sacrificing him or herself for the greater good of the client. And that's when the outsized result comes in. People aren't going to say, I'll give you $30 million on the first. I mean, you have to say no to a bunch of $300,000, $500,000, $1 million, $10 million, $12 million offers. Mm-hmm. And that takes resilience. It takes a certain mindset and self-confidence. It takes a true assessment of what the value of the case is worth. The client's got to understand that too now. We are advocates for the client first.
Well, it's amazing. It's the strategic game that you play when it comes to the cases and the way that you position. I am honored that you sat down with us today.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here.
Appreciate
that. Wasn't
necessarily
expecting it. You just looked so official. I had to had to say hello.
Hey, no, I definitely appreciate the time.
Yeah, man.
And you know, it's awesome that you are dedicating yourself to teaching others, because the importance of your strategic approach, your dedication to law and taking it to trial, it's in my eyes, it seems like an art that is almost being forgotten in aspects of law. And
well, trial lawyers are dying. We have a lot. There were baby boomers, okay?
Uh-huh.
Just think of this year. We had F. Lee Bailey die. We had so many others die, right? Like Johnny Cochran's not here with us anymore. Fred Levin has passed away. Many more are aging out. And so there is a younger generation of trial lawyers. The question is, are they as abundant? It's a question of degree and quantity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to increase quantity and quality. Mm-hmm. If we can do that, then I think our world is a safer place. And so I just want to shout out Exults, because I notice you are passionate about what you do, man.
I appreciate that.
We've had conversations, and you literally study, like, what my law firm is, right? Like, what do we do? Who are you?
Yep.
What are the problems you have? And to those who don't understand that, you're anybody you use as a, quote, web vendor, that's a misnomer. You're a web partner.
Well, Mr. Matz, I appreciate that.
And thank you, man. I just want to thank you from the lawyer's perspective for showing up with that sense of authenticity and dedication, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, at Exults, we are focused on driving results. And I just have to ask you, if there's one thing, whether it's in your personal or your business life, that you focus on to drive your results, what is it?
Continual improvement.
Continual improvement,
right? That, you know, they say, I heard this analogy here, actually, a few years ago. If you're a fighter pilot and the plane begins to malfunction and you're headed down, In pilot school, they tell you there's always something you can do. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Don't concentrate on the prospect or likelihood of failure. Keep going. And trial lawyers are that way. You know, you get a motion, you know, dismissing your case, appeal it. You get a judge that is, you know, a bit of a problem. You can strategize around that. You get an opposing counsel that's hiding evidence. There's a way around it, right? But whatever you do, keep going. And the trial lawyer is actually, in a strange way, kind of like a mini microcosm for the case.
Mm-hmm.
What the trial lawyer has to go through is what the case has to go through. Because the defense associates the case with the trial lawyer, not the plaintiff, more than the plaintiff, the defendants will associate a case with a particular lawyer subconsciously.
Interesting.
And they'll put you through what they're going to put the case through. And so you have to make sure you're in a space to show up right as the advocate for your client.
That's awesome.
Mr. Mance,
it's been an honor.
My pleasure,
I appreciate
man.
You taking the time to join us on the Firm Report.
Thank you. Thank
and
you, my
thank
brother.
You to our viewers.
Yep.
Definitely thank you for the time.
All right. Yeah, man.
The Firm Report, brought to you by Exalts, a full-service digital marketing agency helping law firms reach new heights.